Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much, Guy, for the introduction. Are the slides? Oh, okay, great. I'll be going over a very key topic that everyone's touched on so far, diving more deeply into the OTT user experience. Now, who here would consider themselves a very busy person with very limited free time? Raise your hands. Yeah, most people? All right. Well, while most of us are quite busy, the average American apparently is not. They have about 4 or 5 hours each day that they spend, and most of the time they're looking at those hours on their screens. This covers more demographics than teenagers looking at TikTok. It means that OTT service providers must have folks in the palm of their hands, right? Well, as it turns out, most users are actually quite frustrated with the user experience. Most Americans actually have at least one OTT subscription, but unfortunately, we haven't quite nailed the user experience. And users do have a plethora of content options to choose from, even hundreds of OTT service providers alone. And unfortunately, service providers can't take users and their excessive screen time for granted, because they will disengage and jump ship. And the equation is quite simple. Poor user experience is at the crux of these frustrations, leading to lost revenue, disengaged users, and folks just leaving entirely. But what's not so simple is actually optimizing for the user experience. We're at a conference called OTT Supply Chain Academy for a reason. There are lots of players, actors, technologies out there that need to come together for a seamless user journey. And it starts with identifying the greatest factors for those frustrations and working backwards from there. And just a caveat, while a lot of the statistics that I'll be going through are actually quite US-based for the American population, most of them actually quite apply to users globally. Now, as I was digging into the OTT user experience, I realized that it had a lot in common with dating. But just before we dive into these similarities, let's take a step back to describe what do we mean exactly by user experience. So the geek in me really wanted to look up the technical definition. And the International Standards Organization provided that for me. And it defines UX as an individual's perceptions and responses that result from using or the anticipated use of a product. Anticipated use. So viewers already start their OTT user experience journey before even signing up for the product. They hear about it from friends, they read an article, they already have an impression and have formed expectations around the service. So now going back to the dating analogy, let's take a look at the story of Megan, who decides to set up her friend Sally on a blind date with Roger. Sally says yes, because she trusts Megan, you know, and her expectations are already somewhat positive as a result regarding Roger, and her user experience journey has already actually begun with this anticipated use, so to speak. However, Roger can make a bad first impression. He may not act in line with Sally's values or preferences. And value fail number one is not keeping a promise or following through. It's an hour before dinner. Sally takes matters into her own hands because he decided to not follow through on a promise for actually setting up a reservation, decides to reserve the place, and even sends him a calendar invite. She's already a little frustrated about what's going on here. And unfortunately, Roger does not... Oops, I'm sorry, how do you go back? Oh, thank you. Unfortunately, Roger fails yet again when he decides he needs to iron his pants 5 minutes before dinner, and he's now late to the reservation, not respecting her time. She had sent him a calendar invite with an alert. So how do these same principles apply to OTT? Well, let's say someone's already interested enough to even try a service based off of what they hear, and they decide to do, you know, the free trial period. One very quick way to let them down is the promo code doesn't work for whatever reason. And there's nothing more annoying than not getting something for free that you were promised. Secondly, users can have massive issues actually logging in. That includes TV everywhere, authentication issues and complications. And once they're in the service, they suffer from subscription fatigue, which was touched on earlier, because the content they want is not all in one place. Most consumers are frustrated that they need multiple subscriptions to watch the shows that they want, and they believe there are way too many streaming services, which is something Carol mentioned before. They'd really actually like a one-stop shop scenario because they do want access to all this content. And while over half of viewers state that accessibility to or search of desired content ranks in their top three reasons for choosing subscribing to and recommending an OTT app or service, only 12% say they're able to find the content on streaming platforms easily. And almost 90% of consumers are unsatisfied with content discovery and recommendations. So there's a big gap in expectation here that's really not being met for users. And in fact, 70% of Americans with a streaming service struggle to figure out what to watch next. And they spend more time actually trying to find and discover content than they do actually watching it. So let's assume Sally's sort of given Roger the benefit of the doubt despite this bad first impression. Unfortunately, however, Roger ends up communicating poorly with her and they're unable to form a real connection. He could have asked Megan what Sally cares about, but his conversation fodder isn't quite jiving with Sally, even when she's expressed her interests to him. So when this applies to OTT is how it's hard for a service to form a real connection with someone when they're not providing the relevant recommended content or served advertisements, despite actually having more data on a user to work with. And in fact, users are frustrated with the recommendations that are being provided. They're finding them mostly irrelevant. Many say that the services recommend the same content over and over and over again. Well, we all know the definition of insanity, so let's not keep repeating that. And it's not news that content is paramount to user experience. Content is king, everybody knows that. And it keeps subscribers loyal. But about 38% of US subscribers canceled one or more OTT service in the last year, with the main reason being the inability to find enough content that they like. The relevant content may actually be out there, but they're not being matched with it. And in this vein, it's actually estimated that Netflix saves about $1 billion each year having a very well-advanced content recommendation feature just by recommending the most relevant content to each user. And finally, not forming a connection outside of the product itself, because user experience entails elements that are not just while you're using the product, but anything somewhat around it. Such as poor marketing communication, as well as customer service communication, then those are opportunities for actually providing like a real customer satisfaction, higher level of satisfaction. So, all right, well, going back to Sally, let's say she's held on for this long. What else could possibly frustrate her? We can all use our imaginations in terms of what this means for Sally. But when it comes to OTT, these are all too familiar technical issues where users get quite frustrated. Buffering, rebuffering, y'all can read the slide. There's a lot of technical issues that could go wrong. With rebuffering in particular, it's a very quick way to lose ad dollars if you're an AVOD and subscribers in general. So folks may let one instance of buffering slide, but by the time the second instance rolls around, they're pretty much out. And so on the flip side, however, improving video quality can actually provide massive results, reducing churn in this case by up to 90%. And customers understand that an internet connection can get in the way of their OTT service, and so they want to hedge for that with the ability to download. And many would actually even pay a premium of $1 to $5 a month just to have that feature. So as you can see along the user experience for OTT, there are many different breaking points and many ways where users would give up on you potentially. and may not really give you a second chance, especially in this very crowded market that we live in. So what are some ways AI can help improve the user experience right now or in the future as it becomes more developed? So one way is to actually provide smarter content and ad recommendations that take into account various user data and contexts and access points so that they're more smartly recommending content that takes in, you know, things such as time of day and device. So there's a statistic out there that says 30% of Americans are actually watching OTT in the bathroom. It may be a little tough and somewhat invasive to be that geolocationally specific, but you can assume that they're watching on their phone and may want to serve something shorter or lighter in that time frame when they're actually on their phone than a three-hour like political drama movie, for example. The other way this could be interesting for consumers is actually to provide like an interactive, somewhat gamification element. So folks are spending time on their phones, not just like looking at OTT, but in their everyday kind of life, like waiting at Starbucks, for example, in line. Why not have them go into the app itself to sort of going back to the dating analogy, swiping left and right in terms of content that they may or may not be interested in. And in that way, they could potentially even add the content to queue if it's something that they are thinking of watching on their couch later at home for something more long form. And it reduces all the surfing time when they are at home that they keep complaining about in terms of trying to find that content that's undiscoverable. And on top of that, you're actually finding, you're gaining more data on the user while you're at it. And then as far as like automating more processes, automating the user interface, testing across different types of devices, that includes like A/B testing for flow and layout, and you're taking the different devices into account while you're doing this. You're measuring and dynamically applying what may serve the user better for deeper engagement, and that includes better wayfinding for that content discovery and engagement. And you really want to press play. You really want users to press play on content as quickly as possible, because if it takes about 5 steps for them to even enter the content, if you're an AVOD, you're missing out on those ad dollars. And then as any type of provider, you're just missing out on great engagement. And so, you know, you want to, in this vein, also look into the differences between mobile, web-based, and smart TV, because folks interact differently across all of those. One area where AI is more advanced than others in general is actually in the chatbot space. And so why not make more use of that for, you know, helping people get to more efficient answers quickly when it comes to troubleshooting, for example. And then the data can be collected and refined over time on the type of recurring themes or issues that folks are running into to keep the whole engine, efficiency engine going. And then finally, automating video quality detection and switching. And so an AI system can intelligently detect what the quality is of the network and serve up a different kind of, you know, video quality to not affect the user that much when it comes to their experience. And it would likely also result in fewer buffering issues, therefore, you know, scaring people away a lot less. And at the heart of all of this is actually empathy for the user. And a little empathy actually can go a very long way. And it may have even given Roger a chance. So and that's it. Thank you.
Any questions? Awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda. Okay. All right.